This is the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. A couple of days ago, Kevin Costner was here in St. Louis trying to promote his movie Black or White, which is going to open this weekend here and various other places around the country. He's really out there promoting it big time because he's got his own money in it. He was talking to McGraw about it on Tuesday morning here on the Big 550 and saying, yeah, it was a movie that other people were passing on and didn't want to put their money into. And so I decided, okay, I like the script. I believe in this project. And so I'm going to put my own money into it the same way I did with Dances with Wolves. And so on Tuesday afternoon, we talked on this show about whether that's really a good idea. And after the show, Kyle said to me, well, I know a guy in Hollywood who is a producer who's pretty much running around all the time trying to get money for various projects. Let me see if I can get him on the phone. And so we've got him joining us now, along with one other producer who's a friend of his, David Siner. Actually used to be a makeup guy, makeup and hair guy. He worked on movies like The Birdcage and TV shows like Freaks and Geeks and That 70s Show and The Martin Short Show, which I'm guessing was the biggest challenge of his career. For the last decade, David has been raising money for various projects in Hollywood. And Wade Danielson was an assistant director on a whole bunch of movies in the 90s before becoming a producer of movies like Heaven's Fall and 10 Inch Hero and Brothel and some other projects. David, welcome to the show. Wade, nice to have you here.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
Good. So, David, I want to start with you. Putting your own movie into a project has got to be the last thing you want to do, right?
You mean putting your money?
Putting your money in there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any business. Do you really want to open up an ice cream shop with your own money?
Well, a lot of people who are opening up an ice cream shop have no choice. they don't know a bunch of rich people who are going to invest in it.
As Wade and I can tell you, I mean, it's a huge risk to put your own money into a film.
How hard is it? Go ahead.
I would say, too, that the great thing about self-financing, though, for those that can afford it, is just gives you complete creative control, which you simply do not get through financing in traditional sources.
Because when you bring other people in, you have them saying, what about this? What about, I have a cousin who would like to be in the movies. Can you put her in there?
Well, when you take a film to the studio, I mean, they're going to try to take control and they're going to put their actors that they know. I mean, they're going to go by the numbers, who brings in the most dollars, and that can change the whole dynamics of your film.
So, Wade, when you're looking for money, do you have to know a lot of rich people?
No, you really don't. It's the kind of thing that if a producer has a very good script and a good financial package, there are people out there who will finance, put money into a movie, even if they aren't super rich. They certainly have to have means, but it is not a requirement to be rich to do this kind of thing.
You mean there are people who are just sitting around waiting to be movie investors?
No, it's a lot more difficult than that, but there are people that with enough research and digging around, you can find people to put money into movies, but it's a very, very difficult thing. There's no easy way to finance a movie.
I was just going to say that there's no right way to find the money. You do have to be careful about, I don't know if you're aware, Paul, the blue sky laws, how you have to be a qualified investor and say, hey, listen, I know that I'm going to lose the money if I invest in this, because I've been taking a lot of chances on Broadway recently. And now you have Indiegogo and Kickstarters, which is an opportunity for independent films to really get out there and get their voice. But now you have people like Spike Lee taking advantage of that because he can have total control of his project.
Yeah, I know Zach Braff went that way and actually got a lot of criticism because, people were saying, hey, you made a lot of money in Hollywood. Why do we have to help you make a movie?
Yeah, but I think that's just people being jealous. I mean, good for him. He decided, hey, listen, I can't go the traditional route. I'm going to go raise money and make my film.
There's a documentary that's going to be coming out in a couple of months about the amazing Randy, James Randy, called An Honest Liar, and I was one of the people who donated some money on Kickstarter, and I can't help but wonder, the people who made that movie, by the way, they have not raised enough money to cover the cost of that because it actually turned out to be expensive because of rights fees and that sort of stuff, and I can't help but wonder, is Kickstarter and things like Indiegogo, is that the new way that Hollywood is raising money now?
Wade, do you want to touch that? Because I have my thoughts on that.
Yes, it certainly is one avenue that people are using, not just the famous people you mentioned, but all stripes of filmmakers are approaching it that way. I'm currently producing a movie, though, that has kind of avoided that approach, and the executive producer and director of this film is doing his due diligence to find those accredited investors and raise the money in a more traditional way, except that he is finding equity, and that's just money from private individuals, those that want to be a part of something special. And so that's, I think that's what some of these Kickstarter campaigns are appealing to, but it's a very difficult road for most filmmakers.
You know, as far as the Indiegogo Kickstarters, I know that every Friday in my office, we look at those. We look at for opportunities like, hey, if we kick in X amount of dollars, do we get a producer credit? And we really pay attention to what those projects are out there. But now recently, they're trying to relax the blue sky laws, whereas there was a producer in London that was trying to do, I forgot what show it was, a Broadway show, and he went online and just created a website and said, hey, listen, I need money. And now I think it was On the Town decided to do something similar and say, hey, listen, we need X amount of dollars, and let's just do like an Indiegogo to find the rest of the money.
I think
that there's huge risk with that, though, for the investor, because, for instance, if, you know, you invested and your perk was, you know, you got a T-shirt for putting $100 in, do you really know, do you have any accountability that they're going to make that film?
That's a very good point.
I think, David, that's exactly one of the problems that the company I'm working for has with that type of a money-raising campaign. There is no accountability. And many projects don't get made.
And those people who give money on Kickstarter, I mean, I didn't get a piece of An Honest Liar. I don't own a percentage of it. Most people who put money into a movie want to have a piece of it, right?
That's exactly right. And that's the kind of investor that that I have found over the years when I've sought out independent financing. And that's really the more the better way to do it.
It's a wiser investor that knows to ask for a piece.
I mean,
when you go on Indiegogo and you do get your T-shirt and you give your $100, you don't know what you're getting back for that.
Right. You're getting a DVD and a T-shirt. Okay.
Or somebody's mom's marble.
But some people decide, like I did, you know what, this is a project I would like to see done, and I don't need to have a piece of it. I'm just happy to give $100 or whatever it is. Now, I mentioned credits for both of you guys. Before you became producers, you worked with a lot of famous people. Do you go to stars and say, hey, remember me? Can I have a check?
Well, that's what the American film market is kind of all about. You go and shop your project, and you can then say, hey, listen, I have A, an actor, and B, actor, and I know that they sell well in a certain territory. Can you give me some money based on the fact that I have them attached to a project? That's about, you know, going back to those old relationships. Right, Wade?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't know, though, Paul, if you were referring to going to those actors and requesting money directly from them for a project.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I've ever heard that happen, although I bet there's some people out there that have done it, but certainly it's kind of the other way around, where you approach a famous, if you will, a famous actor based on your previous experience with them and say, hey, I've got this great film, this great script, will you read it? And they'll say, yeah, let me read it. And they say, you know what, I want to be a part of this film. And that's when you take it to the AFM, American Film Market, one other market around the world, and you can attempt to get financing that way. It's a very traditional route.
When you're making a smaller movie, you know, something that doesn't have a $100 million budget for the movie and the marketing and all that sort of stuff, what kind of budget are we talking about to get a movie made so that it'll get to the theaters and get projected onto a screen and then eventually onto DVDs and downloads? I mean, what's like a small movie budget?
David, if you don't mind, I'll just field this one.
No, please.
I've run the gamut. I've produced about 8 feature films from budgets in the $100,000 range, 35-millimeter feature film that was put on the screen, to Heaven's Fall, which was, I won't speak to the exact budget, but it was well over a couple million bucks, and everything in between. So a movie can be made for just about any budget at all, and it really depends on the caliber of technical people you have involved and the willingness people have to work at lower salaries. And if not that, then it's all about what you can do as a producer to attract good talent both behind the lens and in front of it.
Right. But a great example of that, I think, is both My Fat Greek Wedding, where they made for very little and a huge amount of profit, because a good script is a good script and great talent. And what was that horror movie that they made for like $25,000?
The Blair Witch Project?
No, the other one about...
Yeah, what was that one?
They've done 4 sequels to it now.
Yeah, but in reality, those movies weren't really done for that kind of a low money. They had a lot of post-production that went into them. And so a lot of times the movies you see on screen that are purported to be $25,000, they have a lot of money spent in post to bring them up to a quality that can be projected.
How much does a movie have to make? I don't mean in terms of dollars, but, you know, let's say you make a movie for X amount. Do you have to bring in 3X to keep your investors happy?
I'm sorry, go ahead, David.
No, I mean, as an investor, I mean, obviously, what's the going right now? It's 1 point something. I don't think there's necessary. I mean, there's so many creative ways. I mean, I was saying to Wade before we did the interview on Broadway, you know, it's pretty kind of standard. You know, you put in X amount of money and you get your return based on this. In film financing, there's so many variables as far as who's going to get money at which level. So, you know, if the film grosses this much money, certain people get paid. If the film, you know, and it's a very slow process, too, because not just theatrical. It's, that's domestic, but then you have international, you have VOD today, and you have online.
And so if you make a movie for $1 million, or let's say you made a $100,000 movie, if it's not going to be a blockbuster, but it only has to make $200,000 or $300,000 for everybody to go, well, that was a success.
That's exactly right. That's why those very small budget movies are so attractive, if you can pull it off. Now, those tend to be more suited to the horror genre because perhaps the quality of the filmmaking, the quality of the picture isn't as important as a film such as Heaven's Fall that was a 1930s period piece in talking about a very famous civil rights case, the story of the nine young men from Scottsboro who were falsely accused of rape and convicted.
Yeah.
And that was a film that was a period piece that had to show its production value on the screen. And you can't do a movie like that for $100,000 or even $1 million or $2 million. You have to spend money. And so for those movies that are made for a very small amount of money, yes, they can be very successful for the investors.
Yeah, by the way, good movie, I should mention. Anthony Mackie, very good in this. David Strathairn, one of my favorite actors. Tim Hutton, Lily Sobieski, really good cast, Heaven's Fall. Based on a true story, which brings up another question. What if you have to pay the rights for a story like that? Or do you not have to pay them? You just hear the story and say, let's make a movie based on the Scottsboro Boys.
That gets into a lot of minutiae there, but in this particular case, it's the story itself is certainly in the public domain. If we wanted to get the rights to a specific person that's alive, and there's a whole realm of law that goes into that, but generally speaking, you can negotiate rights as you would with anything else in the business.
David, the Oscar nominations were out this morning, and I've only got about 90 seconds left here. You got any connections to anything that got nominated?
No, as far as having money in anything, no.
No, I mean, you must know people who are going to be there.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Ever been involved to the point where you were invited to go to the Oscars?
I actually did makeup for the Oscars in 2001. I was the head makeup guy and had 21 people working under me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's the toughest person to do makeup for? Come on, just between us.
I can't tell you.
Was I right about Martin Short?
Pardon me?
Was I right about Martin Short?
No, that was a tough show because we didn't have a big budget. They actually tried to put that show under the soap opera budget because they shot it at CBS Radford, and so there wasn't a ton of money to come across, you know, with all that prosthetic stuff that he required.
Yeah, well, I thought maybe you were doing some of the Jiminy Glick stuff for him. That would have
been... No, as far as the Oscars say, I haven't seen all the films, but I don't think there were too many surprises for me. Were there for you, Wade?
No, I don't think so. It's been the whisper around the industry for several months, and it's pretty much what we all expected, I suppose.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a talk about Jennifer Aniston getting snubbed, but she wasn't that great. And the only other dramatic film she's ever done is The Good Girl, and she was, you know, decent in that.
Yeah, the only real snub that I saw this morning was Ava DuVernay, who directed Selma, got nominated for Best Picture. This happens all the time. It's the Best Picture nominee, but the director apparently wasn't good enough to be nominated herself.
Well, but see, that's where people have misconcept how the voting process is. See, the directors vote in the director's category, but all of the classes of the Academy vote in the Best Picture. So the makeup people vote for makeup, sound votes for sound. So it's not everybody voting for director. And also, you don't know. They voted for 5 directors. She could have been number 6.
Yeah, that's true.
You just don't know that.
That's true. David Siner and Wade Danielson, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Oh, thank you.
We learned a lot about financing for movies, and I'm going to ask you to lose my phone number because I don't have any money.
Consider it lost, Paul.
All right,
thank
guys.
You.
Thank you very much. I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.